What are the consequences of mistaking one's thoughts for reality?
A person who does so perceives and interprets reality in a distorted way. In other words, they are living a false life and repeatedly making mistakes that lead to conflict. For most people, these conflicts manifest in their interactions with others. Disputes are only one aspect of this issue. The real issue is putting on a facade instead of living according to one's true nature. This reveals only a small part of one's inner self to the outside world.
Without personal development, inner conflicts may manifest as negative personality traits. These traits include anger, irritability, disappointment, hatred, envy, and jealousy. Added to this are a lack of self-esteem, numerous bad habits, and countless desires. One such desire is to experience warmth from others, especially strangers, more often. Not because one is wealthy, famous, powerful, or beautiful, but because one is on the right spiritual path, where humility reigns supreme. But how can one achieve this? By being grateful for every opportunity to be humble.
Our dying human body was nearly forgotten. The cause of suffering is thought, more precisely, ignorance of the emptiness of thoughts. As soon as the mind reconnects with its true nature, which lies beyond thought and is referred to as Buddha nature, God or Brahman, it realizes that only the impermanent body dies. This is because Buddha nature is eternal, pure, unshakable, and indestructible, like space itself. What most people call a painful death is a judgment created by thoughts. For the enlightened, there is neither torment nor death. Why? Because they know both are merely words and concepts that hold no power. An awakened person may suffer physically, but this has no real significance because they know the pain affects only the body, not their original nature. They do not die because the self is just a concept to them. Only the impermanent body dies, constituting less than 0.1% of undivided, all-encompassing consciousness. In other words, they know their true self is made of the same substance as the body, mind, and universe, something immortal because it was never born. This is why they do not suffer. The opposite of suffering is happiness. However, when it comes to happiness, it is worth looking a little deeper. One book states that we all want to be happy every moment because happiness corresponds to our nature as living beings. This idea is illustrated by the notion that the feeling of being unable to be happy at all times stems from limited free will. Liberation from these limitations comes through awakening, a topic that will be discussed frequently in the following passages. As one passage illustrates, the consequence of limited free will is that people strive to achieve concrete results by pursuing their goals and expectations. This also affects the wealthy, who often experience this to an extreme degree. For example, they worry about growing their wealth in the office instead of relaxing on a beach with a book. Although they probably read books on deserted white beaches more often than most, they still worry about their business affairs. The author's concept of free will becomes apparent when deciding whether to retreat to a secluded cabin in nature for 3 months or continue daily life. In short, he defines free will as the ability to make choices and act on them by doing what we want without harming others.
The Hidden Laws of Cosmic Order, Part 1. In his essay, Compensation, Emerson describes the natural law of compensation. According to him, the universe is alive, and every action has a consequence. Cause and effect are inseparably linked. Emerson argues that the entire system is based on justice. He asserts that crime and punishment are inherently linked because punishment is an integral part of the act itself. In summary, he concludes that the universe cannot be deceived and that every excess is balanced by a deficiency and vice versa. Now, let's explore this idea further. First, consider why many self-employed individuals who produce intellectual goods based on facts and contribute to the self-realization of others often find themselves in an extremely dire financial situation. Clearly, you won't get rich doing this kind of work because most people are not interested in the highest form of personal development, learning to control one's thoughts, but rather lower forms, such as embracing the inner child. Those who have set the goal of spreading the essence of the most sublime teachings corresponding to the core of Buddhism and Hinduism will not desire to become rich, even if they don't live in a monastery. Nevertheless, these individuals should not have to worry about financial matters, such as whether there is money left over for a vacation this year. Considering how much they contribute to society, why aren't more people interested in their services? The answer is, the universe provides balance. An imbalance occurs when one uses the services of others, such as free online content, without giving anything back. When funds are tight, what's the best option if we don't want to do without valuable, high-quality content? Should we simply stop consuming this content? There is no single right answer, but the author recommends continuing to use the content as long as it is indispensable for spiritual growth. However, as soon as one has the financial means, one should appropriately compensate the content producer. The same principle applies to every area.